Here we are in 1 John chapter 4 and beginning at verse 9 as we continue our series dealing with thirsty for love, One of the things that we've covered on this past Sunday is in order to love God, there are two things that you have to understand is that love is educated. He says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will what? You will keep my commandments. So the first thing that you have to understand is that in order to love God, you have to learn his do's and his don'ts. Matter of fact, if you actually are honest with ourselves, for most of us, we have to learn each other's do's and don'ts if we're going to love each other. When somebody does something that you don't like, it's very difficult for you to be close to them because they keep violating you. So at some point, if you want to stay close to me, I need to have a conversation with you. I don't like that. I don't like, stop that. Stop that clicking or ticking. You know, don't close your mouth when you eat. There are little things that irritate you that you have to notice. Love is educated. Love is really educated. And when somebody doesn't love you right, it is because they are uneducated. God says, if you love me, you got to keep my commandments. So the first step to loving God is studying his word. Anybody who doesn't want to study his word or anybody who doesn't study his word, you can't love God. You can't. I don't care how much you want to love God. I don't care how much you think you're loving God. You can't love God and be ignorant at the same time. Ignorance is the opposite of love to God. When you're ignorant, you can't be in a close relationship with God because to be close with God is educated. So you'll know how to move and you'll know what to say. You'll know how to think. You'll know how to feel. When temptation arises, he's watching to see. Matter of fact, if you have children, or if you have loved ones, or you have family, when the people that you love are not around you and they're in certain settings and certain things happen, you expect your loved ones to act and conduct themselves in a particular way as to not violate the love that you have with them. So for those of you who have children, and if somebody came around your children, especially if they're a little older, and if somebody came around your children and they just start dogging you in front of your children, there's a certain expectation that you have. And they say, Mama, Daddy, they were talking about you. Okay, but what'd you say? Well, I was laughing along with them. What does that say? I don't know about some of you, but in the neighborhood that I grew up, bringing up somebody, mama, it gets you cut. You may had one joke, but you needed to move on. You bringing up somebody's family, they would fight. Why is bringing up somebody's family fighting words? Because in that environment, the mind is, I want to protect. The way that you show love to God is that when the opportunity to do wrong arises, you do right. And every time you do right, God says, you love me. Oh, that feels good. You love me. Matter of fact, you have the same standard for most people that you love. When temptation arises for the people that you love to betray you, and they don't betray you, what happens to their stock in your life? Wait a minute, you could have threw me under the bus and you didn't throw me under the bus? Or wait a minute, you took the punishment because you, what would you do for a person that had to suffer because they were loyal to you? There's nothing you probably wouldn't give them. And you know what you would tell others? Hey, you can say whatever you, hey, with that one, What did they say about her? What's a ride or die? I know I'm not saying it correctly because I'm church setting. We're in a church setting. What is a ride or die? it's the person that says, listen, wherever you go, I'm willing to go with you. Oh, it's popping off. You can count on me to be in the car. Right? Oh, it's going down. I'm there. I'll ride with you. You don't have to go by yourself. Now, there's some who says, I don't know what we're going to do. I hope you're safe when you get back. That's That's not a ride or die. A ride or die says, listen, I'm on the back. Let's go. Matter of fact, a ride or die is in the car before you get in the car. You ready to go? Let's go get it. And then it's a ride. I know I'm breaking it down like a preacher. It's a ride or it's optional. It's options, right? There's the ride part, and then there's the what? There's the die part, which means if it comes to saving my own life to abandon you, I'll die with you. Because to leave you is death anyway, so I might as well just stay with you and die with you. Right? So when somebody describes themselves, listen, I'm a ride or die, I'll go wherever you go and I'll fight with you in any battle. Or if it gets to the point where there's no way out and I can save myself, you don't have to worry, I won't save myself, I'll die with you. That's what Peter told Jesus. Until the chicken crew start cock-a-doodle-dooling, and then he was gone. And why did Peter start crying? The reason why Peter started crying is because when he denied Christ the third time, the Bible says him and Jesus caught eyes, and he started to cry bitterly because he realized my speech does not match my actions. And the love that I said that I had was tested. Have anybody ever had somebody say they love you and then that love was tested? And then you said, you lie. You're a liar. Because that's not love. That's not love. Now notice this. When you say you love God, get ready for a test. Yeah, get ready for a test. A test is coming. You say you who you say you love? You say you love God. Matter of fact, people do that with other people. They say, wait a minute. Is that yours? That's the one you love? That's the one? And y'all, okay. Well, let's test that. Life has a way of saying, let's test. Y'all just link. Oh, y'all king and queen. Y'all going all the way to the end. Well, we'll see that. Do you know people will even test your relationship just to see and don't even like the person? But I just want to see. I just want to see how strong it is. You know what the devil does? The devil come around and say, I heard you was in love with God. But are you happy? I mean, I was talking about God. I was talking about the devil. You know, the devil come around. But I mean, are you happy with God? I mean, you don't look like he really taking care of you. You know, I see some of your bills. Like, you know, I could take care of you. You know. You eating this oatmeal tonight. You know, I got some. You ain't got to eat no oatmeal. You know what? You too good to be eating oatmeal. I got some steak for you. God has you riding around in that car. You know, if you spend some time with me, I can upgrade you. Have anybody ever had the devil whisper in your ear? Said, maybe if you just spend a little bit more time with the devil, you can actually get some things. And you'd say, God, I'm going to be back, but let me just go get this right quick. The problem with the devil is once you go out with the devil, by the time you do make it back to God, it's been 15 years. And you didn't come up like you thought you was going to come up. Matter of fact, by the time you do make it back to God, you lost more than when you first left. The devil flirts with you. But the real question is, are you flirting with God or are you in love with him? To flirt with God, and I got to put this on this tone so we can all understand. And can I have one of my brothers with the mic? We're going to pass it around. One of them. What do you do? I want you to think about this question, and then we'll dive into the text. What do you do to flirt with somebody? What do you do to flirt? Now, I want to make it very clear. Flirting is not love. Do we all understand that? Flirting is not. Some people don't. Okay. Some people. We'll talk after class. No, I don't understand. Flirting is not love. But what do you do to flirt? What are some things that people do to flirt? Raise your hand. We'll pass you the mic. What are some things? Well, you know, it's wonderful because it's, by the show of hands, nobody in here has ever flirted. So we have one in the back. He's coming with the mic.
You say and do things that they want instead of, you know, be yourself.
That's a very good perspective. Flirting is becoming what they want, which may not necessarily be you, but it's to get them. For what reason? To what? Say that.
Attention.
Say to attention.
Attention, yeah.
To attention. Yeah. Yeah. Did you have one?
No, that's what I was going to say. You make sure that you're always up in their face.
Okay. So you don't love them. You don't love them. But you're always in their what? You're always in their face. Where are you going? What are you doing? You going here? I'm going too. All right. What else?
Sometimes compliments can be flirting.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what lotion you're using this week. But that lotion got your skin on glow. Is it Bed Bath and Beyond? What is that? That you? Is that a scent? What scent? I love it. And you know what you'll end up doing? Going to Bed Bath and Beyond, getting all that lotion. I don't know what this lotion. And you got it for free, but now you buying the whole stock. What do compliments do to you? It pump you up. It pump you up. Every time you wear a black shirt, I just want to scream. You up in Walmart, get these. Get these two, get that three. Somebody else,
you laugh at jokes that are not funny. Or...
yes.
And you give a...
Stop it. Yes.
You give a sly... you can give a little sly smile when they think that it's just natural. You kind of act shy and smile at them. Well, not that I know anything about it.
one other point. He said he acts shy. Anyone else? Anyone else? No professionals in the room? Anyone else?
This kind of childish, but the little googly eyes. Like, you don't even need to talk. They'll just be looking at you a certain way.
That's so scary. That's called 911 look.
I don't do this, but you try to get close to the people that they're close to.
Investigating the environment. So one of the things is acting shy. My sister said, always trying to get eye contact. Try to find the movements that they move. You always go to the cafe? I go to the cafe too. You friends with the cashier? I'm friends with the cashier too. You like the bus driver? I'll talk to the bus driver too. I don't like anybody who you like, even though I don't like them.
I was just going to say wearing things that you know will get their attention.
Mm. Changing your style. Knowing good and well you don't feel comfortable, but you... you trying to get their attention. Is there anyone else before we dive into text? Anyone else? Any other thoughts? Think about this. Now, everything that we've been talking about is talking about getting your attention. The problem is they don't love you. They're always in your face, but they don't love you. They're always texting you, but they don't love you. They want to go wherever you go, but they don't love you. Matter of fact, your friends have now become their friends, but they don't love you, but they're always complimenting you. And all day long, nobody told you you were beautiful, but that person. What ends up happening when the only person that gives you compliments is the person that don't love you? And all the people who claim they love you don't even notice that you changed your hair, your style. They don't even know you move. They don't even know you got a new job. They don't even know that, you know, you don't even do that anymore. All the people who say they love you really overlook you. And the one who pays you the attention the most is the person that's all up in your face, talking about your lotion. What will end up happening? You end up getting sucked in. Hold on, Mike, is that on? Go ahead.
Actually, it ends up crushing you. Because if you had a lot of faith in that person that wasn't real, like my man said, it gives you false hope.
Yeah. Is it possible to fall in love with someone who's only flirting with you? I'm assuming that the mms were amens. Just checking. Let's look at the text. There's a reason why I got to that point. The Bible says in verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live," what? So notice this. God, the Bible says that his love was manifested. What does manifest mean? It means revealed, which means it's possible for a person to love you and they never tell you. And that they love you, but sometimes, because you don't know what love is, you don't detect it. But the Bible says God made his love known. He manifested his love. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to put my Son on the cross, and I'm going to pay your debt. And it is my desire that the people that I'm showing love to will live through my Son so that you can have eternal life. Jesus did not die on the cross so he could have eternal life. He already had eternal life. His life was given so that what? You can have it. That's the show up. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be talked about. I'm going to be beaten. And then they're going to kill me so you can't say that I don't love you. If Jesus did not ride with us and still rides with us today, even though we don't look all that good. Some people you ride with, you at least want them to be honorable. Jesus riding with us and we ain't all that honorable. And you can also say that Jesus will die. Jesus says, I already died for you. So you can't ever question my love for you. Now, verse 9 is the vision of God and his show of love to us. But look at verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved what? He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here's something that's clear. Here's what God knew. You don't love me. No, it's not that you loved him. And he knew you didn't love him. You don't love me. What do you do if you found out somebody didn't love you? We have the mic. What would you do if you found out that a person has made an extreme, you have made an extreme investment? What would you do? This hypothetical, don't mention nobody's name. Don't point at nobody. It's all hypothetical. But what would you do if you found out somebody didn't love you and you loved them?
You turn to other resources, like drinking.
So one of the points you said, you end up going down. You end up self-medicating yourself. Before you pass it on, why is that? If you can explain, why would a person turn to that?
Because at the moment, it takes away the pain.
So there's hurt involved. If you found out somebody didn't love you, would it hurt you? Would it be painful?
You would withdraw from the person.
Mm. Why would you think a person, if you found out a person didn't love you, why would you need to back up? Why would you need to back up? The only reason that you would retreat is so that you can start protecting yourself. You got to start closing doors and locking up and moving money around. And okay, that's another one. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Sometimes you might self-reflect and think that it's something that you did and try to figure out, well, what's wrong with me or what am I doing wrong?
If you found out that you have given your best to somebody, you've given your best to them, you've given them your dreams, your thoughts, even maybe you've given them your body and you wasn't supposed to, and you said, I'm going to give them the best of me, and they said, yeah, thanks, appreciate it, but I'm going somewhere else. And you love them, and you found out that the best of you, they still didn't fall in love with you. You said you were self-inflict, or you would start to look inside and say, wait a minute, maybe, don't raise your hand. Have anybody ever questioned your worth? We're talking about love. Why are we talking about love, Brother Williams? Because it's the greatest commandment in the whole Bible. So if we don't spend time talking about love, then you'll never know the greatest commandment. And if you understand the greatest commandment, because if you love me, you will keep my. But if you don't understand love, then you're missing the greatest commandment, because all commandments are not weighed the same. You can learn other commandments, but it's not the same. So if we're going to study anything to start loving God, don't you start at the greatest, which is love. So we got to talk about it. So if he says in verse 10, you didn't love him. He loved you. So how can you be in a relationship with somebody who don't love you, but you love them? That's God. I love you, but I know you don't love me. Then imagine what we do. We tend to back up. I ain't sharing nothing with you no more. Conversation is short. Hey, how you doing? Fine. Where you going? Nowhere. How was your day? Well. All one word answers. Because why? You want to what? You want to protect yourself. What does love cause you to do? When you're in love. Actually, it's the opposite. When you're not in love, you put up walls. When you're in love, what happens to walls? They all come down. Come on in. Come on, see everything. Everything is exposed. You become open. If you believe that the other person loves you just the same. What if we had some type of tool where you had a little utensil or a device and you can put the device up to people? Of all the people who ever said that they love you, and you could put that device up to see if they're telling the truth. You can do it to your children, you can do it to your spouse, you can do it to your mama, dad, you can put it on your brother, say, you don't love me. Well, what would you do if you found out that the same level of love that you put out, that they don't have that for you? It makes you want to get away from that person. It makes you not want to share. So as we're meditating on that aspect, so here's the question that I'm struggling with. Why would God want to enter into a relationship knowing you don't love him. Does that make any sense? Now, there are several things that we have to lay about God. Can anyone encourage God? Have anybody in here ever encouraged God? God was having a bad day and you came by and encouraged him. Okay. Have anybody, can anybody lift God's spirit up? Send an encouraging word. Anybody ever try to encourage Jesus with a scripture? You can't send word to word. He said, I am the word. I'm good. Can anybody counsel God? Matter of fact, if you want to give God a present, what would you give God? So now it makes it even more confusing. Why would God enter into a relationship with you and you can't do anything for him? There's nothing you can give him. There's nothing you can do that will make him better. Being in a relationship with you does not improve his life whatsoever. So why would someone who has everything, creates all things, can do all things, and be all things, be in a relationship with someone who is limited, feeble, weak, has self-esteem issues, and constantly slips? Why? What kind of love is this? Now, we have to be very clear. There are levels and there are different types of love. So there is erotic love. So obviously, this type of love is not erotic. So erotica, or some of you don't know what that is. You forgot after you got baptized. Erotica is sensual, lustful. It's the stuff you see in the stores or video. It's pornography. It's erotic. It's lust. Erotica is not love. So you can give your body to somebody and there's no love in the room, which makes it a very dangerous room to be in, because you're willing to give the best part of you to someone who doesn't have God's love. The only thing that's moving the room around is lust. I explain it like this. Lust is stronger than a pure love. It just doesn't last as long. So it's very intense, it's very powerful, it's like a firecracker. I don't know if you remember hearing me give that example before. It's like a firecracker. If a firecracker start going off in the room right now, what does it do? It's loud, it gets everybody's attention, and everybody looks. How long does it last? Which is long how some relationships last. You not with Bobby no more? Oh, no, that was about 15 minutes. We got together on Sunday. The relationship ended on Thursday. It was very quick. Relationships get real quick, because when a relationship is only based on lust, if a relationship starts on lust, it's very hard to transition a relationship that started on lust and bring it to God. Matter of fact, in the transition to bringing it to God, it dies. Because it was never, we didn't start talking about God initially. So to try to say, okay, I think we're getting serious, now let's transition and talk to God, it's very hard to transition this lustful love to a godly love. Something has to break. And I'm not saying it's impossible. It was just never the design of God. Then there's brotherly love or family love, which is no romance in it at all. So there's a love. Oh, that's my sister. Oh, that's my brother. You know, and we always say it like, oh, that's my brother. It's almost like a nasty, ever-binding love. Ah, that's my sister. There ain't nobody. But it's supposed to be love. It's the love that you have for family, right? It's the love that you have for family. It's a different level. It's no lust in it. It's a good love. It's a family love. That's the level of love we're actually supposed to have in the church. I'm supposed, that's why we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no lust in it. When I say, hey, my sister, when I say my brother in Christ, there's no lust in it. That means I'm not trying to take anything from you, because a lustful love says, I need to consume. Whatever it is, I just want. Give me. That's lust. That's a lustful love, an erotic love, a passion of the body, of desires. But a brotherly love is saying, I love you, but I'm not trying to take from you. We are family, and there's a sharing within that, right? But we're not talking about erotic, and we're not even talking about a family love. We're talking about an agape kind of love, a godly kind of love, where God would love us and desire nothing from us, knowing, because he knows you don't even love me. Now, I'm going to show my love. Why would I show my love to somebody who I know don't love me? How many of you would sell all of your possessions and move halfway across the country to be with somebody who don't love you? Some of y'all wouldn't even do that for people who say they love you. No, I got some stuff to do, you know. No, I got plans. How many of you would give up if I tell you today, I need you to quit your job, I need you to sell all of your possessions, and I need you to move to El Paso? For somebody who's not your family, and for somebody who doesn't love you. Why would that be hard? Because there's no guarantee that even when you get there, they'll love you. Why would Jesus leave heaven? Why would he leave his home of being with God and come all the way to dirty Jerusalem to be with people where there is no guarantee that you will love him? But I'm going to give my life for you to show you I love you first. And if you see my love, the prayer is that one day you will fall in love with me. Who would do that? So when we study Christianity, that's why most people of the world say, that's crazy. They call us crazy. Because whatever adoration and whatever praise that you give to God is after the fact that he loved you first. Your praise and adoration is 2,000 years late. He's been waiting on you to sing for a long time. And then some of you still got an attitude when you sing. I don't want to pray. Man, I'm waiting on you to fall in love with me. You know, I'm too busy. I don't have time to read. You ain't got time to read your Bible? Man, I'm just waiting on you to fall in love with me. So this type of love requires no reciprocity. Does anybody know what reciprocity is? I'm in a relationship with somebody, and I don't need you to tell me you love me back. When a baby is first born, the baby doesn't love you. When the child is first born, the child doesn't love you, because somebody else can pick that child up and hold it, and that child will clench on to whoever's holding them and fall asleep and won't remember you 30 minutes from now. Because the memory is what? The memory is short. Do you know a baby doesn't love you when it first enters into the world? Whoever got the milk. Whoever got the milk, that's where the child gonna go. Whoever got the milk, then that's who they attached to. Over time. So now I understand. God calls us children. I've been loving you and nurturing you, but I know you don't love me. But over time, I'm hoping that you will look up and you'll find the source of all your comfort. I take care of you. I feed you. And then after a while, after a child looks and says, wait a minute. Every time I'm hungry, this same woman, don't even know her name. Don't even know where she come from. But every time I cry, this same woman comes and puts something in my mouth. And every time my stomach hurts and there's a movement, this woman comes and picks me up and takes it away. And don't make me feel bad for not having stomach muscles. Whenever I feel like this same person is always around. So then whenever you start feeling scared, who does that child reach out to? That child will ignore everybody in the room, the person who's been there. What God is trying to tell you is, I've always been there. I just need you to acknowledge me. See, it's not your job that feeds you. I support your job so your job can support you. You're giving all honor to your job, and I'm the one taking care. I'm the one keeping the economy together so you can pay your bills. Matter of fact, I hold up the light company and then give you the money to pay the light company that I'm holding up so you can have some lights in your community. I'm the reason war has not hit your community and your neighborhood or America yet. I'm the reason why your community is not devastated, because I keep in it. You don't know what I'm doing for you. Matter of fact, let's go even deeper. The reason why your heart still pumps and oxygen still flows is because I'm the one that's moving it. I'm just waiting on you to fall in love with me. Now, I want you to take your breath that I just gave you, and I want you to say, thank you, God. But it's hard for you. It's hard for you to say, thank you, God. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some more air in your lungs, and I'm going to do some more things outside of you so that you can see that I love you. And then I just want you to say, thank you, God. I'm waiting on you to fall in love with me. The Bible says, herein. Let's look at this and we'll close. Herein, look at verse 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the perpetuation. He sent his love to be the perpetuation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love what? One another. So he says this. So here's the commandment. God says, the way that I love you is the way I need you to love everybody else. So I'm going to break this down, and I pray that this blesses you and the lesson will be yours. I have to study how God loves. And if I study how God loves, God gave his son, Jesus gave his life, and God provides for us with no reciprocity. You don't have to say, God, I love you, in order for him to wake you up in the morning. He wakes up many people who don't love him. Now, God's commandment to me is to love you not because you love me. God says, love each other the way I love what? So my love to you, I don't need you to say thank you, Brother Williams. I don't need you to acknowledge what I do for you. I don't need you to appreciate me. What do you do when a person don't appreciate you? You say, forget that. I ain't doing that again. That's a weak love you have. Now, a God's love says, I'm going to be kind to you, and I don't need anything from you. The source of love is who? So when God needs more love, he just turns to himself. Because I'm the source. Now, I want you to love each other the way I love you, but I need you to make me your source. So whenever you feel like you need some love, who do you turn to? You don't have to turn to him. You don't have to turn to her. You don't need him to acknowledge. You don't need her to do this. You don't need more from people. So what kind of God's love makes you powerful? Because I don't need anybody in this room to say thank you. I don't need anybody to be in my face. I don't need anybody to flirt with me. I don't need anybody to pull. I don't need anybody to give me any compliments, because the source of my love is who? Is God. So that you don't ever, I don't ever have to put myself in a position to be manipulated by you. Because whenever you start searching for love through humans who are not connected to God, you are going to get mistreated and let down and even maybe betrayed. But if the source of my love is God, I am free from your response. I can give to you and turn around, and I don't have to wait for you to say you like it or thank you. Are you a matter of fact, I don't need any banquets. I don't need any balloons. I don't need any cards. If God is truly my source of love. Now, you can't fake love. So if God is not your source, then I do need you. Have anybody ever needed you? And they needed you too much? And it was at that point you wanted to even be evangelistic and tell them about God? Hey, listen, you know there's a God. Because I can't be all of that for you. When God is truly your source. So here's the question I want to leave with you on tonight. Are you really in love with God? And is God truly your source? Or do you need your job? You need your car? You need your phone? Matter of fact, you said, I need this person. I need my daddy to be, I need my mother to, I need my sister. Y'all were supposed to, but if God is your source, everybody can leave you. And you're good. Not that it doesn't hurt, not that you won't cry, not that you won't be disappointed, but I don't fall off if you leave me, because who's my source? You don't feed me, God feeds me. You don't give me health, God gives me health. Now the Bible says, now love each other. Matter of fact, last scripture, very quickly, I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. No, actually, let's do this. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and then we'll close. Romans chapter 13. I want you to see this, and we'll come back to it on Sunday. Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at just this one verse. Romans chapter 13, and look at verse 8. And then I'm done. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. If you don't get anything else in your spirit, I want you to get this verse in your spirit. Oh, no man, what? Be free. Be free. God is telling you, be free. Stop being a slave to somebody's response. Don't be a slave to no woman. Don't be a slave to no man. The only person that you're supposed to serve is God, and you can be free from everybody. So owe no man anything. Have you ever gave somebody all their stuff back? Here, no, that way you don't claim nothing from me. Here, all your stuff. I'm free. Owe no man anything but to what? But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath what? If you love on a God's level, you actually have fulfilled the whole law, because I'll never take from you. I'll never manipulate you. I don't have, matter of fact, to love on that level, why am I envious of you? I ain't even looking at you like that. Why am I jealous of you? I don't even want what you want. I'm free. To love on a God's level, I'm free. So I can say hello to you. I don't need you to say hello back. I can hug you. I don't even need you to embrace me back. Matter of fact, if I want to be kind, it is because God is in me. So I'll just give gifts because I'm kind. I don't need anything from you. I give and I don't keep record. Why? Because the source, if God wants to multiply what I have, matter of fact, you give when offering on Sunday, when you give out of that kind of love. There's some people who give and say, okay, God, I need that back. That ain't that type of love. Because if I'm the source of everything, then you already know I have you. When you're free, I'm talking about when you're really free, you can walk around anybody. You can go in and out of circles. You say, I'm free. You can talk about me or you can praise me. I don't eat off of any of those plates. You ever see somebody get a big old head because people are pumping them up? Because you're eating off that plate. And when the compliments stop, then you end up sacrificing and bending over backwards and being somebody else's slave. When you flirting, you trying to get somebody's attention, you trying to get somebody to love you, you're all in their face. And you're doing everything to please them. You're doing everything to please them, and then it breaks your heart when you have pulled all the tricks out of the bag, and at the end of the day, they say, well, thanks, that was wonderful, bye. And you're devastated because you only have no more tricks in your bag because you're trying to manipulate love instead of walking in love. Now, when you got two people who's walking in God's love, that's one of the safest relationships you can be in. Because if you're in a relationship with somebody who's walking in God's love and you walking in God's love, I don't want to take nothing from you. I just want to love you and I just want to give. Now, if you got two givers, what happens at the end of the day? Ain't nobody empty. Because we just been giving on God's love. And you can't, matter of fact, you can't love enough. Because God's just going to keep blessing. But when you're in a relationship with consumers who are in a erotic kind of love or a love of the flesh, you giving all that love and they're just consumers. And if you're trying to eat off the plate of the person you're connected to, you losing weight on accident. You ain't even trying. Somebody said, you looking good. I'm not trying to. I was trying to gain. I was trying to gain some weight. And you know what you end up happening? When you're trying to eat off of a plate that's not based on God's diet and menu, what happens is you will eat, and you'll still be thirsty for love. And the reason why you're thirsty for love is because any kind of love outside of God will never quench your thirst. And you'll get up in the morning and you'll feel lonely. And you'll be tired and you won't replenish. But when you got God's love gives you energy. God's love make you wave at everybody. What's going on? All your haters, what's going on? How y'all doing? Everybody good? And somebody said, who's supplying you? It ain't you. It's God. But you can't fake love. So to have real love with God, man, you got to be a student of the word. Other than that, it's not even safe to be in a relationship with yourself. And if you're not in God's word, you really don't want nobody connected to you. Because you'll become a consumer and you will redefine God's love based upon your ignorance. Well, everybody supposed to love like this. No, they don't. You don't know your word. God's love don't feel like this. It shouldn't make me feel this way. I shouldn't be thirsty all the time. I should be quenched. If God's love is rolling in you, if you're here on this evening, and you realize, you know what? I'm thirsty because I'm trying to make people my God. I'm thirsty because I'm trying to put people on pedestals. Maybe you're thirsty because your priorities and your focus is, matter of fact, you're looking for your resources in every place but God. If you would detach, you could be free. Maybe you realize on this evening, you know what? I am a slave. If you're constantly checking your phone, you're constantly checking the mailbox, you're constantly asking your boss, you're constantly, because you're constantly desiring stuff from people. And God said, if you would just only turn to me, I could be your source. I really could take care of you. I pray that this has encouraged you. We should all be walking around free. When we dismiss on this evening, every person that you talk to, every person that you hug, every hand that you shake on this evening, you should be free. Because I really don't want nothing from you. I'm being nice because nice is in my DNA. I'm kind, not because you're kind to me. Matter of fact, I even know you're hateful to me. But I want to say good evening. And I'm not being fake because I won't let your behavior change who I want to be. And I want to be great in God, and I want to have a great day. So your bad attitude, I'm not going to eat off that plate. When you eat off of other people's plate, you become a slave to their emotions, their days, their... But when you can bring joy in somebody's life, it is because you eat off another plate and you can enter into somebody's life and say, come on, it's going to be all right. That's how you can give encouragement to people. Because you're eating off of another plate. If you're here on this evening and you desire a closer relationship with God, or you realize, you know what, I don't have the relationship, you also have the opportunity to come, to study his word, to believe in him and believe in the sacrifice that he's made. You too can be baptized today. The Bible says in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You have the opportunity to put Christ on today if you'll be willing to receive the invitations given to you. Together, stand, sing a verse of a song.